If you turn to your Bibles in Mark 12, verses 28 to 34. The Lord has clearly summed up the whole Bible in two commands. So let's not make the Christian life complicated. It's simple to understand and impossible to live without Christ. God gave us the great commandment to be just what He said it was, a command. Not a nice saying or a thought, but a command. He expects us to live out in His grace and power this command. In fact, as we think about and ponder this command, we can see if we are truly in the faith at all or falling far short of what He's called us to, or maybe we can even begin to grow in a greater way in trusting Him and loving Him. A brother told me about a week ago, we were on a jet ski, putting on our flotation jackets, vests, and he looked up and he said, "Marty, do you love God enough?" And I said, "No." He said, "Let's love Him more." I was so encouraged by that. And that's what I want to try to do this morning. I want to try to encourage us to obey this command. Let's read it in Mark 12. "And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another." That's Jesus with the Pharisees and Sadducees. "And seeing that He answered them well, asked them, 'Which commandment is the most important of all?' Jesus answered, 'The most important is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' And the scribe said to Him, 'You are right, teacher. You truly said that it is one, that God is one, and there is no other beside Him. And to love Him with all your heart and with all your understanding and with all your strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices.' And when Jesus saw that He answered wisely, He said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' And after that, no one dared to ask Him any more questions." May the Lord bless His word and speak to us this morning. The context here is, of course, you find this in three places. This is the Shema of Israel. Shema being the first word in "Hear, O Israel." Here is the Shema. And it's quoted three times in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's found in Deuteronomy 6 the first time. Many theologians believe Matthew and Mark might be linked as a situation where this came up. And Luke is a totally different situation. So Jesus is preaching the same thing wherever He's going. Love God with all that you are. Verse 29, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one." Now, we're not Israel, but if you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, you are grafted into Israel and the one true God, Jehovah. He is one, mono, three in one. One God, not three, but one essence and three persons. True and one God. I see this verse. It starts off before I tell you how to love God. You got to know this. There's only one God. And you got to know this today. There's only one gospel. There's only one way to heaven. And Jesus Christ said that. "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through Me." So before you get into the how to love God, you've got to know, do you know God? Because you will not be able to love God like He commands you to love Him if you don't know Him personally. And that comes through an understanding of the gospel. So let me tell you the gospel, because it's so simple. It's not complicated. You are a sinner. Have you ever sinned? Have you ever done anything you didn't want to do? If you're honest with your heart, you'll say, yes, I have. Well, not only is it a sin against yourself and against other men, the biggest place it's a sin is against God. Your immorality, your lying, your lust, your self-worship, your pride, your anger. And on the sin list goes, and we do them all. When you think of the Ten Commandments, we do them all. In fact, we put ourselves as God, not God. And that is the greatest sin. So, you know you're a sinner? God knows that too. But he also loves you. But he can't have sin in his presence. So he sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to live a perfect life, the life that I couldn't live, that you couldn't live. And then he went to die on a cross so that anyone who believes, not because your mom believed or your grandma believed or your uncle, but because you believe and trust that he died on that cross 2,000 years ago, being God, he could see you today. He could see all your sin that you do today. And he said, I'm dying for that sin, because not one sin is getting in his heaven. And yet he wants you there. So there's where the cross come in. That's the great dilemma between you getting to heaven and a holy God allowing you to get there. So Jesus has to pay the price. Jesus has to suffer. God has to suffer. So when you think about the suffering in this world, remember that God suffered more than any of us will ever suffer, so that we don't have to suffer for all eternity away from him. That's the gospel. Jesus Christ died and rose again on your behalf, but you have to believe and you have to trust him. That's God's substitution for your sin so that you can be forgiven and be ready for heaven. So, this is the here, O Cleveland, here, O Cornerstone. This is the Shema for you. Hear the gospel. And don't just hear it. Believe that there is only one way to God, and that is through his son, Jesus Christ. Because you can't love what you don't know. And if you know the gospel, if you comprehend just a little piece of this eternal truth, it will radically transform your life. In fact, the Bible says you will become a new person. You will be born again. You won't even be the same person. People will notice something is not right with you, or something's right with you. You're different because you believe. You have heard the gospel and you have believed the gospel, and it has changed you. And now you can love like God calls you to love. Verse 30, you shall love the Lord with all your heart. And you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Let's talk about these four words, heart, soul, mind, and strength. Let's make it a little simple. Some theologians believe that God used this just for emphasis to show the different emotions, the different parts of man. But the ancients usually believed just there's an immaterial and a material part. There's your soul and there's your physical body. That's what it is. And Jesus is saying here, love God with all that's inside of you, that part you can't see. You know, we got modern medicine and we're learning that there's electrons that fire your brain and they're getting so deep. And you know what they come up with? The same thing. We can't explain it. We don't know where the soul comes from. We don't know what that part of you that makes you you comes from. All we know is when you die, that part isn't there anymore and you're done. It's over. So Jesus is saying, that soul in you. Many places in the Old Testament and New, heart and mind are the same word. It's the inner being. It's the part of you that no one sees, that you see and God sees, but no one else can see. We can see it because we can talk to your soul. We can't see it. This is one of the greatest arguments against people who believe in evolution or believe only in matter. You say, well, I understand you have a brain and you have an organ up there and a muscle, but what gives it thought? How do you explain a thought or an idea? How do you explain morality and the conviction, and when you feel bad and when you feel good, how do you explain these things? You can't measure these things. You can't see these things. That's your inside. That's your soul. And Jesus is saying, that part that no one sees, you should be loving God with everything that's in there. And what I love is that's what faith does. Faith is a concrete thing. I can actually say, do I really believe God knows what I'm thinking right now? Because right now I'm hating on somebody. And I know God doesn't want me to hate on people. But he's seeing me. So faith, if you have faith, says he sees that and that's not good. So I'm going to stop hating on people. God, please help me. My thoughts are not right. My thoughts are not pure. I can fool everybody else and act Christian and go to church and say the right words. But real faith says, you see my soul. You see my heart. You see my mind. And I can't hide any of that from you. And I believe in you. So change me. I don't want to lust. I don't want to hate. I don't want to do things that dishonor you. I want to love you. That's what Jesus is saying here. To love God with all your heart. How do you do that? Well, only Jesus ever did that perfectly. He always honored God. He always loved people. He always trusted and obeyed his Father completely. For his 33 years on the planet, he always did right. So when God gave the Shema to the Israelis, to the Hebrews, he knew, you guys aren't going to obey this. But one day's coming my son, and he's going to obey it perfectly. But think of this. Why did Jesus obey it perfectly? Well, first of all, he's 100% man and 100% God. But I believe this. He obeyed it perfectly for one reason, one big reason, so that we could obey it. So that he could give us his spirit and we could begin to love God like we're supposed to. What do you treasure most in your life? This is what your heart loves. Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart is. What's mostly on your mind? Where does your mind go on a day-to-day, moment-to-moment basis? Isn't that cool that I can't answer that for you, but you can if you think about it? What do you think about when you have nothing specific to think about? Where does your mind go to? What is your default mode? That's what you love. That's, in fact, what you love more than God, if it's not God that your mind goes to. See, Christianity's not a let's just go do a few things for God and attend church on Sunday and let's even read our Bible every day. That's an awesome thing to do. But what I'm saying is I've met people that read their Bible every day and I don't see them loving God. So what's that all about? They're reading it in a religious, obligatory way. Check off my list and I'm done reading my Bible. Now let me get on to what I really like, what I really love. Anybody here like that? I get like that sometime. And I say, God forbid. I don't want to be a religious person. I want to be a person that is in love with God, that truly loves God. All your heart and mind mean just that. It's your life. So when people think about you, it shouldn't be, he's a great IT guy. She's a great nurse. He's a great carpenter. Sure, that doesn't mean you can't be good at those things, but their first thought when they think about you, Mr. Christian, Mrs. Christian, should be, they love God. Those people are all about God. I'm not telling you something that's for missionary Christians or pastor Christians. I'm telling you what Jesus said to everybody. He's saying this to everyone. We have an example in David. Acts 13 says he was a man after God's own heart. And we know that when we look at the Psalms 42. David says, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you, O God. Think of that. David was always out in the wilderness. He knew what deer did. And deer have to drink. And they know where the stream's at. And they're trying to get around enemies and predators, but they got to get to the water. And they're panting for it. They want the water. And David says, just like that deer wants that water, I want you, God. I want you. This is David, the king of Israel. He had all the women, all the money, all the glory. And he said, I want none of it because nothing compares to God. If you have tasted of God, you know what I'm talking about. Psalm 84, he says, my soul longs for the Lord, the courts of the Lord. Lord, I even faint for them. Man, that dude's madly in love. You're going to faint? I just about did that when I met Mimi. I met some beautiful women, but I knew she loved the Lord, and I was undone by her, undone. I opened my heart. That's why I tell youth, do not open love before it's time, because once you open that heart gate, man, there ain't no closing it. And this is what God wants for us, to open our heart gates to Him and let His love flow in. How do I get this heart that loves God? Know and love His word. That's why the scribe, look at this observation. That's why the scribe that goes up to Jesus, look at it. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing one another and seeing that he answered them well. What was he talking about? Jesus was talking about the Bible. That's what Jesus was always talking about. The word of God, the kingdom of God, the souls of men. And he said, which commandment is the most important? Well, what was the scribe looking for? He was looking for an answer from the Bible. Give me an answer, Jesus. You're a Bible guy. This is where the truth comes from. This is how I learned to love God. So the scribe, he knew, you got to be in the Bible. And what did Jesus do? He went right to the Bible. Well, you know what the Bible says. You know the Shema. Love God with everything you are. So right here, the observation is to get into the Word. If you want to love God, you got to be in the Word. Guys, we have excuses all the time of why we're not in the Bible. I had a young lady I was counseling, and she said, I just don't have time to read the Bible. You know how it is. I'm working. I'm this. I'm that. And I says, okay, I got an assignment for you, homework, counseling homework assignment. I want you to list a whole week, every hour of the day, what you do, and then bring me it back. She brought it back to me with her head down. I said, what's up? She said, well, look at it. I looked at it. Okay, you work this many hours, you eat this many hours, you exercise this, and you're on your gaming for 20 to 25 hours a week? I didn't have to say much more. You can't take 1 hour and half that 20 to 10. You could be in the Bible an hour and 5 minutes a day. That's an assignment for you. You have to make time for the Word of God if you're going to grow. Obey His commands. If you love me, you'll obey my commands. So let me challenge you. I know we're running out of time. What sin is holding you back from loving God? I like the old illustration of our hearts with the four compartments. And one is for God, and one is for my family, and one is for my work, and one is for my hobbies. And God says, No. All four are for me. All that other stuff you do flows through loving me. You go to work, and that's when you're a good witness at work, because you're loving God. Your work isn't your God. Your work's just what you're doing to take care of your family, and you're trying to be a witness while you're at work. But God is in all those compartments of your heart. So what is holding you back from loving God with all your heart? Because listen to me, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. In fact, it's probably going to hurt you. It's probably going to kill you. You're probably going to wake up in 20 years. Like I've heard so many say, man, I just worked too much, man. I just loved it. I loved working and I didn't have time for my kids, my family, my God. Love the Lord with all your body and strength. So we talked about the heart. Let's jump to your strength. How are you using your body and your strength to love God? Man, after 50, sorry, gang, you're going to get there. Man, that, me and the old timers talk to each other. Say, man, remember we used to lift those?
3 packs of shingles. You never did that. I did it. I fell off the ladder, but I had them on my shoulder for 2 minutes. And that strength just goes. And I say, Lord, whatever I got left, it's yours. This is my body. Here's the thing. Christianity is one of the only major religions that doesn't separate the body from the soul. It says all of it serves God. See, we want to be like other religions because if we separate our body from our soul, we could do what we want with our body. But God says, no, your body's mine too. The fact that Jesus Christ took on a fleshly body like this shows you that it's not inherently evil. It's cursed now and we are evil, but the body itself is not evil, and it's called to be used for God. So let's use these bodies. And here's my, I love what when Paul says, the take home. Here's my take home. Where is your body most of the week? In any given week, where do you find your physical body? Because where your physical body is at is going to show how you love God. That doesn't mean we don't do fun stuff. I'm not saying that. That doesn't mean we, in fact, I always have argued, when I became a Christian at 16, I tell my kids, listen, kids, before I knew Jesus, I went to all the crazy parties, knew all the crazy people, had all the fun and fame that you thought you could have, and I had this big hole in my heart. And when I met Jesus Christ, he filled that hole up to where I said, I just want to be with God's people. And they're playing volleyball, and I didn't like volleyball. But guess what I learned to like? Volleyball, because I just wanted to be with God's people. And if they play volleyball, I'm going to do it too. And now I really do like volleyball. But where is your body? Do you just say, well, I did my time at church, I did my hour? Or do you say, man, I can't wait to get to church? The men in Romania meet every Friday morning at 6 o'clock before work to pray. 20 to 30 of them every Friday. And I am just like them. I think about them. Even though I'm one of the oldest guys there, I say to myself, 5 o'clock. I'm used to getting up at 8. What is this 5 o'clock? Let's do this. Because I want my body to be with other bodies that love God. And you know what? This phenomenon will happen till I die. I know it because it happened when I first became a Christian and it's still happening. Oh, I don't know. And you're making up all these excuses. But then the Spirit overcomes the flesh. And you wash your face and you get in the car and you get there and you are with the brothers and you're reading the Psalms and you're praying and you're confessing sin and you're praying for one another and asking for prayer requests and you go, man, I would not rather, this is where I want to be more than any other place. This is where I want to be. Why was I even thinking of staying in bed? What is wrong with me? Marty, you've been doing that for 40 years, so just keep going to the prayer meetings because that's where you want to be. And God moves in your heart and you say, man, I love this place. I love these people. And let's close with the second command, which Jesus actually says in Luke, he makes it one command. He doesn't even separate them. And in Mark here, how does he say it? And you, verse 30, and you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, strength. 31, the second is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And over in Matthew, he says, the second is like this. One translation says, the second is the same. In other words, when you really love God, you really love people. And it ain't you that's loving them. It's the Spirit of God in you. It's that you're so serious about loving God that you just love people. I am amazed at this because I wasn't raised a lovey guy. I wasn't. I wasn't raised a crier. And look at me, I'm a crybaby. But God has transformed my heart. And young Christians, if you're saying, man, Marty, I want to love God like that, it's a growing process. It's not going to happen overnight. But if you stay in the Word, if you stay around God's people, if your body's in the right place, you're going to grow. You're going to be sanctified day by day, week by week, and one day, you're going to wake up. Me? I love God. That's got to be God doing this. Because I don't know how I love people. I don't love them. In fact, I just want to stay away from them. Oh, Marty, you're an extrovert. Yeah, extroverts want to be extra left alone. Maybe that's why they're extroverts. They can't shut up around people because they don't want to be around them. I don't know. All I know is when you, God consumes your soul and he's everything to you, you're going to start loving people in a supernatural way. And then guess what's going to happen? People are going to start coming to Jesus. Because that's what the world wants to see. They want to see genuine Christians. I'll close with this illustration because it's coming a time here in America when you're going to have to show what you love. And they're going to start taking stuff from you. And it's in the scriptures over and over. Peter's saying, I know they took your house and your job. I know they took this. I know they took your lands. I know you're on the run. But you love God. And that's why you're on the run, because you don't love any of this stuff more than you love God. And that's actually evidence if you love God. When something that you love is taken away from you and you want to get rid of God. Well, why? Because that was your God. God wasn't your God. You loved something more than God. But I want to talk about Hobby Lobby because it's owned by a Christian organization. And they said when they were forced to give their employees abortions, they said, we're not doing it. And they said, you're going to lose everything. They said, we got over 500, 1,000 stores. Take them all. God gave them to us. We started out in a garage. You can have it all. I don't love that stuff. I'm good at it. I do it for a living. It brings enjoyment to me. But that's not my God. My money, my retirement, my job, that's not my God. Not even my family. Jesus said, love not father or mother, son or daughter more than me. If you love them more than me, you're not worthy of me. And it's right to say that because he's God Almighty. He's the one that gave you everything you have anyway. So it's coming, brothers and sisters. But if you stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel, he will give you the victory. He will give you the strength to weather the storms. And we will be a witness because people will say, those people love God. I want to know that God. Because my God was my money, and they don't care about my God. My God was my popularity, and they don't care about their popularity. They pour contempt on it. They don't care if people like them. They love their God. I want that God. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, thank you for your family. Thank you that we are children of God if we have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted him. And Lord, if we have believed in you, we can live like you. You said that. That's why you commanded us to love you with all that we are. So Father, help us to do that. Help us today to start to love you by being in your word, by being with your people, by sharing the gospel with lost people. Help us to love you with all our heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. Bless your people through your word, by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.